Welcome to the Inspired Teacher's Guide podcast. We are Kim Wilkins and Laura Waldron, the two teachers trying to find it.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Week.
Happy New Week. It's going to be a great one today, Laura. This is your jam right here.
Oh, this is, well, I hope it's great. It is my jam.
It is.
I've read and read and read, and I've tried to figure out how to communicate it other than just reading to you guys. And so anyway, hopefully you get something out of it.
They will. I love all her work. So today we're going to do something different, and we're going to share some learning about meaningful connections from Dr. Brené Brown.
Yeah. And so this is really just going back to that most important thing we do is building relationships. And all of this stuff that we're going to share and discuss, because really Kim and I are just going to be thinking out loud today about some of these things we've been reading, is, you know, it applies everywhere. So much of this we need to think about at home and at school and just everywhere, because what's involved everywhere we go? Relationships.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And I started thinking about that whole connection piece back in the fall when we worked with Natalie, maybe.
Maybe so.
I think so. And about how kids are really seeking connection. Mm. And the truth is, we all are.
Oh, for sure.
We're all seeking connections and needing to feel valued and needing to feel like we belong. Mm-hmm. And Brené Brown has done the best work, in my opinion, the best work on helping me understand that.
I completely agree with you. I feel bad for how many times I bring her up when I'm having a deep discussion, but it just is the truth. Connection is what Brené Brown did her dissertation work on. And the specific information that we're discussing comes from the book Atlas of the Heart, which you've heard us mention before. So as you listen, listeners, I want you to really soak in the discussion and think about your thinking. So just as we encourage our students to be metacognitive, to think about their thinking, that's what I want you doing as you're listening. So I thought we just might start out by discussing her definition of connection, since that's what, you know, the whole podcast is about, trying to create more meaningful connections. And this may be easier for you to think about home-wise or school-wise, but that's, you can think both or either.
That's so right. Yeah.
Her definition of connection is the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued, when they can give and receive without judgment, and when they derive sustenance and strength from the relationship. That's good, right there. Yeah. I mean, just the first thing, it happens when people feel seen, heard, and valued. And you think, like, when you're arguing, you know, a lot of times you don't feel heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sense of connection is gone.
Yeah.
I just was like, oh, that's such a good definition.
It really is, Lauren. I don't think you and I have ever had an argument, have we?
Not that I know of.
I don't think so. But I think that's because our relationship is built on mutual respect.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I do. And I think that when you have this mutual respect for someone, you do feel seen and heard and valued. Right. And I think that that's true in everything. We have to respect our students. Mm-hmm. They need to respect us. But I don't think unless we show that to them, they understand how to give it back to us. A lot of times what we view as respect is really fear. They're scared of getting in trouble.
There's no way. I always just think about tests, our teacher evaluation system. And I think it's 2A, respect and rapport. And So if you go into all these teachers' rooms, you know, like one of the top roles is respect. And I just think so many times that word is just like, like Charlie Brown's teacher.
It really is. Yeah. And I do think, I don't remember who the podcast was. It may have been again, Natalie, but once we use fear with them as an approach to get them to behave, then we always have to use it.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
And that's exhausting.
I need May to come so I can get a new set of kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exhausting.
And man, his own kids, you know, like really having to break some habits.
Yeah.
I do feel that respect will never be earned by your students or anybody else if we are not the true givers of it.
Mm-hmm.
So respecting them. And I think that goes back to seeing them, hearing them, and valuing them.
I do too, Laura.
Oh, without judgment, to give and receive without judgment.
Boy, that's tough.
That is tough.
That is tough.
Because it's almost our go-to many times. Mm-hmm. Thinking about, you know, if, do we agree or do we not agree with that? Or that's good, that's bad. And we sure don't want to get that mindset of that's a bad kid or a good kid. You know, that's just, that was poor choice.
Yes. I've heard you say that to your children. Was that a good choice?
Yeah.
Did you make a good choice? And I think that's that you're a great mom. And I think that is one way you build connections with them, is really helping them think about, did I make a good choice or did I make a bad choice? They're great kids. Right. We all make bad choices. We've all made mistakes and mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too, when we have discussions with people and they disagree with us, their point of view is different. They've had a different life experience.
Man.
I mean, their life is different. They haven't seen what we've seen. We haven't seen what they've seen. And I don't think we can judge people based on their life experience because we haven't experienced that. We just have to respect them. We're not all going to agree on everything. No. I didn't raise my kids the way when I was raising them, the way I would raise them now. So I can't judge who I was back then because I was just a different person then. I've learned a lot, lived a lot.
Absolutely. Like every day, you know, we're refining.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to find something. I don't know if I can find it quickly. But anyway, okay, let's go to that last part of the definition where she says connection is when they derive, and I would say we derive, sustenance and strength from the relationship.
Yes.
So I want us to really think about this at school. You know, are we growing in sustenance and strength from the relationship we have with our students? Are they growing and are we growing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can't say a quick yes, then we need to go back to the first part of the definition and making sure that we are doing, seeing, hearing, valuing without judgment.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's more like a cause and effect in the definition.
Yes. Yeah. If they're not feeling seen and heard and valued, then they're not getting strength and sustenance from that relationship. So they end up being disrespectful responding in ways that feel disrespectful to us because we're standing on their air hose.
Oh man, that's a good one.
Well, I borrowed that from somebody, from the Love and Respect man that wrote that book, Love and Respect. And he says that like you're listening through a different set of headphones.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening through a different set of headphones. You can't hear what somebody else is saying, so you've got to really be open. And when you do that, you're standing on their air hose. I'm standing on your air hose when I'm not listening. And you can't get strength from that. You can't grow. Can't even breathe.
It always, you know, talking about this stuff makes me always go back to Conscious Disciplines' statement about behavior, that all behavior is a form of communication.
Yes. That's
and
great.
So when we do feel disrespected or we're seeing kids acting in this way, we've got to take it deeper and think about what is being communicated. And maybe it is, I don't feel seen, valued, or heard without judgment. Mm-hmm. Man, lots of parenting and teaching reflection.
Oh, yes. Right now. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. The next thing that I wanted to talk about is Brené Brown says, cultivating meaningful connection is a daring and vulnerable practice that requires three things that I'm going to tell you about in just a second. But I thought we just might, as she says, rumble about this daring and vulnerable practice. So I'm wondering, like, okay, if we are, like, let's say that we are really going to invest in our, in making the relationships better in our classroom or at home, why would she say it's daring and vulnerable, a daring and vulnerable practice?
Well, because you have to open up, and that is not easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be open. And I really think that she also talks about walking alongside and being with someone.
Yeah.
That's difficult. And I can't think of the word, Laura.
I'm just thinking that I think she says it's daring and vulnerable because we have, I mean, really the only thing we can control is ourselves. And so I'm going to have to really work on me if I'm going to improve the relationship with anybody I'm around. You know, it doesn't matter if it's with Brock or my kids or my students or the teacher down the mm-hmm. hall that really is not too sweet to me. You know, it's going to have to require work on my part and really reflection and growing, which goes into cultivating meaningful connection is a daring and vulnerable practice that requires three things: grounded confidence, the courage to walk alongside others, and story stewardship, which we're going to go into all those in just a minute. But, you know, grounded confidence is really just a process of learning and growing. And I think that's what makes it so daring and vulnerable. Because
she says, here's my notes. I found it. She says, she talks about near enemies and far enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, you know, a near enemy to being developing grounded confidence is driven by a commitment to learning and improving. A near enemy to learning and improving. A near enemy is knowing and proving. So if I'm learning and improving, the near enemy is, I already know that and I'm going to prove it, right?
Yeah.
Quick to mistake knowing and proving is confidence when they're actually a function of a low self-worth.
Oh, man. Okay, so I want to go back and tell you, listeners. So for each of these skills we're going to talk about, the grounded confidence, the courage to walk alongside someone, and story stewardship, Brené Brown goes into these near enemies and far enemies of each of these skill sets. So a near enemy is kind of stealthy, kind of quiet. You don't notice it much, but it's going to get in the way of connection.
Yeah, she says it's similar.
Yeah.
She says they're similar.
And a far enemy is very obvious to breaking up a connection or hurting it. But both the near and the far enemies will destroy connection either bit by bit or immediately, you know. So that's probably some language that you'll hear Kim and I say because it is a big deal. So let's give some examples. So grounded confidence is just really learning and growing and improving. And she, one thing that really stuck out to me, Kim, is she says, what we do, like in a time of uncertainty or fearfulness or whatever, you know, a bad situation, is instead of absorbing it, learning from it, and growing from it, we replace it with armor.
Mm.
And so I was thinking about, oh, and a lady I'm following, Kate Bowler, she's a professor at Duke Divinity School, and she's been doing this big series during Lent. It's been really great. I encourage you to follow her. But she was talking the other day about, you know, the little Russian dolls that like fit in each other. They all are the same yes. shape, and you like, you lift up the top and there's a doll that looks just like it, but it's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that as I was reading Brené Brown's stuff. And I was just thinking about, you know, if I'm in a situation, let's say Brock and I are in an argument, and you take my Russian doll apart and you get to the smallest one of me, you know, you've stripped off all the armor, then what do you see? Mm-hmm. You know, what's there?
I think we're trained to not be vulnerable.
Oh.
Don't you?
And to put because on that, armor.
Yeah. We're exposed. And so if I don't know, or if I try to hide that. Like instead of being courageous, I try to hide that and not own whatever it is that I'm not really good at. You know,
yeah.
I'm not in a good position to do a particular thing. I try to hide that I can't do that.
Or even like in parenting, or let's say in the classroom when a big behavior situation pops up and you really don't know how to handle it. You know, mm-hmm. the bad stuff comes out of our mouths, or the bad reactions and the body language come out. But, you know, just I don't think it's bad to say to the student or my own kid, this is a major situation and we've got to work through it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest, I don't know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, maybe that may take time, or that may take conversation or whatever. But I think that's a better response to it than just belting out some major consequence.
Exactly.
Back from, you know, you can't back away from later.
No, so. That's exactly right. And they know that it's not going to happen. Oh, you know, we've talked about this before.
Or, if you don't. It's breaking the connection and they're going to be bitter.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So in this grounded confidence thing, she's talking about digging deep into yourself, getting to know yourself, staying curious, not judging yourself, but staying curious and open and learning and growing and practicing new skills. And, you know, I was in my reading, she was quoting somebody else, and she said, or they said, that the habits that we have are our habits because we've practiced them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like we always weren't an angry or a harsh person. We have been practicing in that, and now that's our gut reaction to problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, like I've noticed I've got sometimes my reactions will be very judgy, and it's like, no, I've been practicing in that. So that's why my reactions are that way. So we've got to make sure we are being open to learning and growing and practicing the new skills.
Yeah. And surround yourself with people who help you do that.
Oh gosh. Yes.
Do not be, you know, that was one of the best bits of advice I got as a new teacher, is just to, you know, stay with the people who are on the side of light mm-hmm. and kindness and goodness, and don't fall into that trap, because you start to think that way. The more you surround yourself with negativity, you get drawn down into it. So we just have to really make an effort to be with people who are staying curious and being humble mm-hmm. and are willing to say, you know what, I don't really know how to do that. And
yeah.
And
who are willing to go deep with you.
Yes.
Oh, in your stuff.
I think.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
I was just thinking about Todd Whitaker. You know, we love that book, Transforming School Culture.
Yes.
How, you know, school culture, classroom culture is, it can swing. And you know this, guys, from your classrooms, how one kid can be infectious, either for the good or the bad. Mm-hmm. And so we have to really think about how to transmit that culture that we want. And really, we are the weather maker. I love that.
We are. I'm seeing a lot right now. It's springtime and these kids have been together all year. And I'm seeing a lot of, especially with fourth and fifth graders, they're really trying to make connections with other fourth and with their peers. They're really wanting a strong relationship and connection with their friends. They're moving from that age where they want connections with adults to where this whole peer group is so critical. I mean, it has been up through the primary grades.
Right.
Once you get in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, man, that's a different, I'm watching it happen with children.
Oh, it just becomes, you know, they want to stay the night. They want to be invited. They want to do all this stuff. And so no longer is it wanting to make Miss Kim the most happy.
Yes.
I want to make Miss Kim happy and my friends.
Yes, that's right. They do.
Okay, let's dig into this grounded confidence and think about some skills that go along with it.
Okay.
And then we can kind of talk about some things that would get in our way of this learning and improving, which she calls developing grounded confidence. So one thing she shares would be, you know, just to stay curious. Another would be to practice humility. And of course, if you're learning and growing, you know, you got to be, I think honesty, I don't think she put it in here. Oh, it's kind of implied. But, yeah. You know, being honest with yourself and thinking about your reactions and your patterns would be huge here.
Being connected to yourself. I think we should kind of talk about too, Laura, the far enemy of what those look like so that we're not falling into that. So if the far enemy of staying curious is being indifferent, just being indifferent. I mean that, you know, I see that in as a PD provider, I have seen that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And disinterest or being defensive. Well, I'm already doing that. We already do that. You know, I've seen that.
This is another new thing.
And I felt that.
Yes.
I felt that. I've been in this business long enough that I've felt that as well.
Yeah. Like, but I've got a good thing going on. Do it something else.
Let me tell you something. When you go from being a balanced literacy teacher to being a dyslexia therapist and science of reading teacher, you have to admit that you were wrong. That's tough.
Being some curious to see, I know some good things that work, but there may be some other things that work.
That's right. That's right. Not everything we did was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But not everything.
Yeah,
that's right. So I had to learn new things.
And so I think we also should think about that, you know, staying curious with kids' behavior, with kids' academics, you know, really trying to dig. Oh, and a near enemy of it would be to challenge and to criticize. He's always been bad, or he's always been, you know, in trouble, or that's just, you know, like you're proving you're quote proving
yes
why yeah. he is that way or whatever, or he's always been angry. And it's like, okay, no, we need to stay curious. Another part of having grounded confidence is making sure that you're connected to your own self, which this part of the reading really hit me hard. And when I was reading, she was talking about, you know, your body is a messenger and you need to pay attention to it. And if we don't, things are going to creep up, like anxiety, depression, just all kinds of things. I think anger will be in this mixture too. But it's just going to be a really, really big deal that we don't repress feelings, deny feelings. Like she says, a near enemy of it is thinking and acting our emotions without feeling them. So like, pull up your bootstraps and get going. You know, like I'm kind of that mindset.
Me too. I was raised like that.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, it's okay to keep going, but you do need to acknowledge what is going on. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've got a friend right now who's in a super stressful time in her life. She's hardly getting any sleep. And so I'm thinking about her and how can, you know, she's got to be acknowledging her feelings. And she is. We talked the other day and I'm so glad she is, because I think if you just continue to do that and you're not acknowledging really what's going on,
right,
you're setting yourself up for some major future problems.
Yes, you are. Health problems. I can tell you. I've been there.
Yeah.
And it will come out somewhere. You can either acknowledge it, or your body will hold on to it and it'll come out in a different way.
Yeah. The body keeps the score.
It does. 100%. Another great book.
Another great book. Another skill set that goes in with grounding confidence is committing to mastery and practice.
Mm.
And a near enemy of that is, the perfectionism thing. Self-protecting with perfectionism. So keeping your house perfect, you know, like as you think it's a great day and as soon as one thing goes wrong, you're like, well, nope, that's over. You know, it's like, whoa.
I blew
that
one.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true. And I think that's something we should instill in kids,
mm-hmm.
that we don't have to be perfect. We're never going to be, but we're going to keep working. We're going to keep practicing until we master it.
Man, here's a far enemy that I think sometimes can be noticed, but is a big deal. And we've got to make sure that we are never a part of this, is the shame factor. Let's make sure that as a teacher, we're never targeting that child and creating a mind full of shame. You know, why did you do that? Why would you do that? You know, even simple like statements like that are going to create shame, I think.
When I read this, Laura, I sent messages to all my children and said, if I ever have done that to you and hurt you in that way, I mean, I'm almost going to cry just talking about it. I'm sorry. I never meant to do that.
Right.
They all, Lindsay, text me back and said, you haven't, Mom, but thank you for even thinking that you might, you know, that you're willing to say that you're sorry. But my boys texted each other and said, what's up with Mom? But I read her book and I was like, oh my goodness, I would never want to cause that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it, like just those two questions I just threw, it's almost your tone is more shame causing than your question. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
So I think if we can show that we're being curious and saying, you know, hey, you know, this argument happened in class, or you flipped me off or whatever, tell me about it. What would make you want to do that? Or what? That's completely different than why would you do that?
And it's not a natural that, It takes work. It takes committing to mastery and practice to be able to stay curious, because our first reaction is, he's being disrespectful. I'm the adult in this classroom.
Yeah.
Or I'm your mother. That's why.
It's a good one.
I'm the teacher. I'm the boss. This is my classroom. My name's on the door.
That's right.
Yeah. Instead of really trying to get to the root cause, I really think that's what the staying curious thing part is trying to get to the root cause. Cause there's every behavior is a form of communication.
Yeah.
So why? that's our job to figure out, not to ask them. They don't know why they're acting that way. They're acting that way because of something. We just, yeah.
And even thinking about it on ourselves. Why am I acting this way? Why am I reacting? Yes. Why am I doing this? You know, staying curious. Remember, we don't need to be judging others, and we really don't need to be judging ourselves. We need to be thinking. It's learning and growing. Mm-hmm. Is the whole deal. The last thing you may think of something else. Oh gosh, no, there's two other things.
What is it?
Okay. You know, a skill set and grounded confidence is practicing courage.
Oh,
and yes. She says a near enemy is, you know, just saying everything's fine, not owning the hurt and the pain and the fear. But, you know, that would be a kind of a silent one. And then choosing an obvious one would be choosing armor over comfort or mm-hmm. over courage. You know, I was thinking about, like, when I worked at the high school level, the high school I worked at, I would talk about these girls, and I would just say, man, they're coconuts. They're just so hard to crack. You know, like, yeah. I know there's something sweet inside of them, but my gosh, yeah. You can't. Like yeah. It would take me a year or 2 years or 3 years, the whole time they were in high school, to see what was sweet inside of them. And I just thought about them as I was reading them, as they are covered up in armor.
Mm.
But so am I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I really want to challenge you listeners to think about, maybe this is the main thing I want you to think about this week is, you know, when you are uncertain or fearful in the classroom or at home, and you feel the need to kind of protect your heart or your mind or whatever, what armor do you put up? You know, sometimes I think a lot of times my immediate armor is I don't want to connect, you know, like I just kind of shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I go silent mm-hmm. and avoid or whatever. And that's just not like okay. in marriage. It's even with kids, I'd be sad to say that I might just avoid the situations or mm-hmm. avoid the kid for a while, you know, no eye contact or whatever.
Yeah. And yeah.
That is the enemy of connection.
It is. It's very manipulative manipulative to do that to children.
Which would probably be, I think about sometimes, I'm thinking of one specific incident, you know, I think I was trying to manipulate the situation.
Me too.
To guilt, you know.
Yes. Yes. I have done, I know that I've done that with my children. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. when they, just to try to get them to, and I thought wrongly that maybe I was just picking my battles.
Mm.
Or maybe I use that as my excuse for why I behaved that way, that I was picking my battles when really I was angry.
Yeah.
And
you were armoring up.
And I was armoring up.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll end on this one. You know, a near enemy of really knowing and applying what we know about emotions and human experience is trying to shape emotions and experiences into fit what we know. And this is going to come up in the other two skill sets that we talk about. But this one got me, because I think what I do is when I'm listening to a kid or when I'm listening to anybody tell a story or I see them doing something, I try to fit it in my box to what I know. And that is getting in the way of connection, because
mm-hmm.
who knows the real stuff? It's you. It's not me.
That's right. I think I read somewhere, someone said, if we knew the true story behind the behavior,
oh, for sure.
It would break our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that would go to an 80-year-old, 40-year-old, 60-year-old, anything, you know?
Oh, absolutely. mm-hmm.
with just about anything that we really see if we knew the true story.
And after my grandmother died, I learned a lot about her life
uh-huh.
as a young person, a young woman, and things I didn't know as a child, obviously, but she had, now I realize, a lot of trauma. First of all, she grew up during the Depression, and her father was an alcoholic. So she grew up with a lot of trauma in a really hard time. It was a really hard time to live.
Yeah.
And I remember learning about all the things that she went through. And I think, holy cow, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she was the way she was. She was armored up. Now, she was a wonderful woman. She was a kind and loving grandmother, and she was a great lady. But I think about even the health problems she had, the body keeps the score.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that she dealt with a lot of trauma that I've never dealt with. And man, I think she was pretty remarkable. But yeah, we don't know what someone else has been through.
Yeah.
And To Kill a Mockingbird, he says, you never know what somebody else's life is like, and I'm paraphrasing, until you put it on their skin and walk around in it. Mm-hmm. Not their shoes, but right. You get inside their skin. And we don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, we sure don't. Okay, let's continue to talk about this next week. How about that?
That's a great idea.
Gotten into.
There's so much. There are two more skill sets.
Yeah, the two other skill sets that we've not talked about are the courage to walk alongside, which is huge. Students have got to have someone walk alongside them, and we are that person.
Yeah.
Or the direct person that is. And then the third one is story stewardship. So, let's pick this up and talk about it more.
I think so, Laura. I think we can really delve in deeper and have more time to talk. This is some good stuff. If you haven't read Brené Brown's books or any of her work, I highly recommend it. Atlas of the Heart is wonderful.
Check it out tonight and read it.
Do. It is a great gift to give new parents, I think.
Oh. I think
it's a great baby gift because if we take little humans and we teach them to give language to their feelings, I think about the world, what a different place that would be. I think that's going to be my Easter present to my children.
It's a great one. One of my best friends, she was saying this week, like, you know how kids act in church. It's terrible for them. They're so bored many times.
Yeah.
And the kid was messing up and the dad got really mad. And when they left church, the little boy said, I did not feel good when you did that. I did not like it. And I was like, whoa, that is amazing. Oh, he said, you were in my bubble. And I was
is so sweet.
If we could train kids to talk like that from 7 on up.
I know.
I just think about marriages, parenting, all that stuff would just be so much better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Marriages, parenting, civilization, the gamut.
Good grief, the political discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, listeners. So I think, and I've probably said I want you to think about something else, but I want you to walk away this week thinking, what can I learn about myself? How do I armor up? How do I respond? And stay curious about it. Really rumble with it, as Brené says, to really think about it. And really think about how you can grow for your own self and then as a teacher or as a parent. Okay, and then we'll talk more next week.
That sounds great.
Okay.
Well, remember to share this podcast and go on social media and like and follow us and help other people find us. I hope you like this podcast and we want to hear your feedback.
Yeah.
So give us some feedback.
Absolutely. And I was thinking, Kim, if you have a guest that you'd like for us to interview, we're trying to set up some, and we've got some great guests coming up. But if you have an idea for who you'd like for us to interview, shoot us a message on social media and let us know. And by golly, Kim and I have decided we're just going to ask whoever. All they can say is no, but we're going to ask.
We're always surprised when, so we call someone and they say, sure, or we email them and they email us back. Yeah. We're so excited. So yeah, please.
All right. Listen, all right. Hope you have a great week.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye.